Well, I guess I didn't turn in a new one this year, so Tim just used the one from last year. That is true. I have performed the Heimlich on a dog to save its life, not just for fun. All right. David, thank you so much for that presentation. And I think that leads into what I'm going to talk about today, and it is what happens when we work together. You see the good that can be done for the cause of the kingdom when we all decide we're going to be on the same page, right? We decide we're going to work together and not against each other and do something for the cause of the Lord. We put all of our agendas behind and we see what God has the ability to do. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we're going to be in just a moment. I love to use puzzles to teach. Now, I usually do this when I'm teaching a teen class or something like that, but I like to use puzzles, and here's why. Because puzzles, when you give a group a puzzle and you tell them, okay, I want you to put this together, it goes from each of those individual little tiny pieces that are very unique and shaped very differently from each other. Each one of them is very different, and it all of a sudden turns into this masterpiece, right? Well, sometimes it depends on what the puzzle is. I've used Barney puzzles. That's not really a masterpiece. But the idea is you have all these individual parts that come together to make something. And people see that, and that becomes real for them. I think sometimes in the Lord's church, we need to go back and learn a real good lesson from Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he uses one of the greatest puzzles in the world to illustrate how all of this is supposed to work in the Lord's church. We've talked all around this today, and awesome lessons, and now we're going to get pretty specific on some things. You're going to hear some things again right now in the next few minutes that you've heard all day long, and there's a good reason for that, because it's biblical and God says, let's do this. And when we do, we'll create a masterpiece for the Lord. It's not about us. It's for Him to bring glory to Him. One of the greatest puzzles that we could ever look at is the human body. You see, Paul, being inspired by the Spirit, uses the best illustration he could ever use for you, because you carry it around with you every single day, and it's your body. All those different individual pieces. Let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's take a look at a couple of the verses here before we get into some of what I want to talk about. Let's begin in verse 12. We're going to come back to verses 4 through 6 in a minute. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Now, we've talked about the fact today that the church is the body of Christ. Paul's coming back and says there's a lot of different moving parts to that, but we're all one. There's each individual puzzle piece, right? And just like when you start to solve a puzzle, each one of those puzzle pieces has a place that it needs to go. Another puzzle that many of us are familiar with, especially this time of year, it's getting ready to be that time of year, right, is football. Football time, right? A team is, in essence, just a big puzzle that's been put together in a different way. Each one of those positions has to respond to its training in just the right way, at just the right time, at just the right count, in order for whatever play the offense or defense is trying to run is going to work and become this masterpiece on the field, right? November of 1934, Princeton and Yale, this is before FBS and all that good stuff, right? Princeton and Yale were facing off against each other. And in 1934, Princeton had almost a three-year winning streak. Yale comes in that year with a 3-3 record. Yale, by the way, is only running 11 men all the time on the field. You guys have heard this, haven't you? The last Iron Man football. Now, to be fair, there were some rules in 1934 that we don't have today. If you took a man out, you couldn't put him back in until the next quarter. So to be fair, it was probably just more efficient at Yale for them to run 11 men the whole time with the scheme that they were running. Here's the thing. People showed up at that Princeton-Yale game expecting to watch a masterpiece put together by Princeton. Well, that's not what happened. Princeton had outscored their opponents 280-38 up to that point. But Yale won that particular game on that particular day. You know why? Their mantra was this: all 11, all in, every play. All 11, all in, every play. I want us to talk a little bit about team. The team of the Lord's church. What I want us to talk about is the fact that today, as Paul mentions this, he says, look, you need to take a lesson from your body. We can learn lessons from teams that we see out there that are successful. And they take all these moving parts and they create this masterpiece. And how do they do that? And I think there's some pretty simple principles we can look at today. And then what I want to talk about is the purpose of why this is a team. Why this is a team effort. It's not about your preacher or just your elders or just the deacons. It's about everybody contributing. And again, this is the cream of the crop we got here today. And so your responsibility with this lesson is to take it back and make it work where you are. That's your job. Take what I give you today. Take what you've learned today. Take it back where you are and make it work. Put it to work. Because that's what you are to do. As we look at this, the first thing we see, the T in team, is simply this. We have to do a talent search. All right? When we come back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at what somebody says to him, some of what he says to them in verse 14 of chapter 12. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, what that would not make it any less a part of the body. He talks about the ear and the eye. Sometimes we have the impression that if young men don't become elders, that's a failure. And that's really not true. Because not every young man that grows up in your congregation needs to become an elder someday. Now, those are awesome, godly principles and traits that we need to be training young men for, period, whether they become elders or not. Those list of qualifications, of qualities that we find in those men. But not every young man's going to do that. Not every young man is going to become a preacher, and that's fine. There are a lot more jobs than preaching and serving at the Lord's table and speaking on Wednesday nights and teaching Bible class that need to be done in the Lord's church. And every single one of them is important. Paul says, look, just because you're not up there all the time, just because you don't have a master's degree in ministry or something, doesn't mean you're any less important than anybody else. That's what they were struggling with in Corinth, right? They were considering certain gifts to be way more important than others. And they were talking about tongues being the and-all, be-all gift. And Paul's like, no, that's not it at all. We talk about a talent search. Let's go on to the next slide there. We should be seeking to find our own talents. But here's the other thing. We ought to be helping other people find their talents as well. Here's how you can do that. Here's a real practical way. I love when people come and they start complaining to me about something. You ever have that? You guys have been in the business world. You know how this works. They come and they start just complaining about how so-and-so is not doing this or this is not getting done. That is a wonderful opportunity for you to provide that person the opportunity to serve the Lord. It is, isn't it? And here's the thing that I've noticed about folks. Typically the things they are passionate about, if you give them purpose, if you help them find purpose and couple it with their passion, you better get out of the way because they will get it done and then some. People are looking. You can help them find where they belong. Listen to some of the things they're passionate about and help them to find purpose to those things they're passionate about. A lot of times we complain about the things we see because we're paying attention to those things. Guess what? That probably means you have an interest there. And you can help somebody to discover even more part of what their talent is for the Lord. Let's go on the next one because the E, I can spell team, I promise I can, is exercise. Exercise. It's been a long day, right? Exercise. As we think about this, going to that next slide, we think about exercises. We need to be developing our talents for the Lord. And there are people in our congregations that need to be challenged. They need to learn how to exercise that talent that they have. If you see a young man who can speak well, maybe he's just leading a prayer, but he's very comfortable when he leads that public prayer, you might need to take that young man aside and say, you know what, have you ever thought about this? You ever thought about being a preacher? Oh, no, I'd never do that. Really? Why not? Help people to learn how to develop their talents. A lot of times I've noticed that as people go to these conferences for their jobs, they learn a lot of these leadership skills and things. Guess what? They could bring those back to the congregation because a lot of those things have biblical applications. Matter of fact, a lot of them come from the Bible. They just don't say that. And our congregations could be moving forward if we were encouraging people to develop their talents for the Lord. When we help people to develop those talents, here's the other thing that happens. If I can find my strength and concentrate on my strength and developing that to serve the Lord, here's what happens naturally. I supplement somebody else's weakness. Sometimes we want to try to fix all the things that we're not all that great at, I've got to get good at those things. If you will concentrate on the things that you truly have a talent for the Lord to do and to develop those, it will supplement somebody else's weakness within the congregation. And guess what? When they concentrate on the area where they are strong, if they don't try to be an eye or a foot because they're an ear, they're going to supplement somebody else's weakness. If it's not your talent, sometimes it's hard to see. For instance, you're coming in and there are people that are walking down the aisles in the congregations and they're looking and they notice that something's a little off with somebody. That's a talent because not everybody sees that. Help those people learn how to develop that. Okay, next one, the A, accept responsibility. Go on to the next slide here. So we talk about accepting responsibility. Remember, this is not about competition. This is about completion. In Ephesians chapter 4, another one of these passages about how the body works together, remember what he says? He says that when all of these parts are properly working together and they're doing their part, what does it lead to? Growth in the body of Jesus Christ. But only when people will accept the responsibility to develop those talents and use them for the Lord. The next thing we have is M, and we've talked a lot about this, and it is mentor. The business world's getting this. The world of psychology is getting this. In the church, we got to get this. We have talked about this how many times today? Steve did a great job really developing this idea. Josh talked about this. Blaine's talked about it. The idea is we have got to start being more purposeful with how we are training and looking for the leaders in the next generation. As we talk about this, we need to help the others to find their talents or just maybe their one talent. We need to encourage them. We need to challenge them. And we also need to exhort them. Sometimes we have to tell people, look, you really need to be doing this. You need to be thinking about preaching. We need to tell them, hey, this is the direction that you need to go. We have to be more intentional with identifying those people that we want to work with. Okay, but here's the purpose of this. What's the purpose behind team? Why didn't God say, you know what? No big deal. Y'all just kind of do your own thing. It's all right. No big deal. Here's why. Two things. First one is unity. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 4. We've all studied this passage, right? We see it. We get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Different, but for one common goal. What's that common goal? Come to the next slide. That one common goal, whatever our talents are, we need to be using those for the glory of God. Here's the common goal. The next slide. Here it is. As we talk about this, that one common goal is to bring the glory to God, because when we help people to invest themselves in the work of the church, here's what happens. They become vested in the kingdom. For those of you who have 401ks, 403bs, here's what happens. When you join, they say you work here 2 years and you'll be 100% vested at 2 years in your retirement account, right? You're waiting for that day, because what that means is if you leave that company, you get to take all of that money with you, whether you put it in or the company put it in. Vested, big deal. Part of the reason that we've got people sitting on the fringes in our congregations is because we have not helped them to become invested. If we do not help them to become invested in the work of the Lord, they will never be vested in what the kingdom can provide for them. We have to help people to be invested. The other reason is this: diversity. It's a team effort because no one person should ever be given the one task to do it all. And the employment of the diversity of gifts supplies a catalyst for growth. We've talked about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But here's the other thing. Having a diversity of workers, it saves from mental, emotional, and spiritual repetitive stress injuries. Those of you who work in manufacturing, right, you're nodding your heads, retail, office work, it doesn't matter anymore. Repetitive stress, in fact, I saw this report not long ago that they were talking about carpal tunnel syndrome and just the thumbs. From what? Texting, right? Kids are texting away and they're going to be like 50 years old and have to have carpal tunnel syndrome, all right? Have to have that surgery because they're just texting all the time. You try to move away, field of ergonomics, you try to move away from any motion that causes undue stress on any one particular part of the body. As we think about that in the Lord's church, we have a great challenge, right? Why don't we have Bible class teachers? Because we wear them out. Why are we losing preachers? We wear them out. If we all accept our responsibilities, if you go back and seek to strive to mentor and help people find their talents and invest them in the work in these diverse areas, and nobody's thinking any one thing is better than the other, we keep from this emotional, mental, and spiritual repetitive stress injuries where people just quit. And instead, the church grows, it thrives, and people feel like they belong. Because what we're all trying to do in the end is find where our puzzle piece fits so that we ultimately look more like Jesus. That's the goal. Where does my puzzle piece fit? How can I fit? Where do I need to be? For some of the people in your congregations, they need you to help them find that. In whatever diverse way that is, so that we look together more like Jesus.